When my oldest child was born and placed into my arms, the first thought I had was, oh my goodness, he looks like my mother. And the second thought I had was, he's so small. And that was until the nurses told me that in baby weight, he was a good healthy size, weighing 3.8 kilograms, which is 8.6 pounds. When my youngest child was born and placed into my arms, the first thought I had was, oh my goodness, he looks like my mother. Very similar. And the second thought I had was, he is huge. He was truly the biggest baby I had ever seen, weighing a very healthy 4.6 kilos, which is 10.1 pounds. Now, if you've given birth, if you've seen someone give birth, if you've heard of someone who's given birth, you will know that it's really hard work. And in today's passage, Jesus profoundly teaches us that we all need to be born again. And we hear Nicodemus's shock in the passage. And I think I can speak on behalf of all the women here who have indeed given birth to say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that this is not your plan for humanity and salvation. We do not need to give birth again. So what does Jesus mean to be born again? Perhaps you've heard the saying before, to be born again, or you've heard of born again Christian, and you get some strange feelings associated with that statement. Or perhaps you just are unsure, is that a brand of Christian? Well, I'm really hoping that by the end of this talk we'll have a much better idea of what it's all about. Well, what we see at this time is that Jesus has just started in his public ministry. If we flick back to chapter 2 of John's Gospel, we see Jesus' first miracle that is written in the Gospels. He's at a wedding and they run out of wine, and so he changes water to wine so that the wedding guests can enjoy wine at the wedding. And then again in chapter 2, verse 23, it reads, now while he, Jesus, was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. So people are starting to see Jesus perform miracles, and I take it they're following him around. Perhaps he is healing people. Perhaps he is speaking words into their life that only God would know. I take it people are becoming followers of God. Which leads us to our passage for today. Nicodemus has also seen or heard of these miraculous signs, so he decides to pay Jesus a visit to discuss these things with him. It seems valuable that we understand who Nicodemus was from John's writing. In verse 1, we see that Nicodemus is a Pharisee, which means that he's zealous about the biblical laws. He's a zealous teacher of the biblical laws. And not only that, Nicodemus is a member of the Jewish ruling council, which means he has some status, he has authority, he's important. And he's seen or heard of these miraculous signs. And so I think it's important to Nicodemus that he comes and pays Jesus a visit. He wants to understand and put it right in his mind just who Jesus is. He wants clarification. I think he wants to categorise Jesus into something that he can understand. He wants to categorise him as a teacher. And we also see something telling. He comes in the cover of darkness. He comes at night. So we can suppose he's coming of his own accord. Perhaps the other Pharisees don't know what he's doing. And he comes at night to have this discussion with Jesus. And I think he wants to set the record straight, but we've got to wonder, is he embarrassed? Is that why he's coming at night? Does he not want the other Pharisees to know what he's doing? Well, we're not sure. But whatever the case may be, that's when he visits him. So in verse 2, the first thing Nicodemus does is indeed call Jesus Rabbi, which means teacher. And Nicodemus is giving Jesus a title that he thinks befits him. So he says, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you were doing if God were not with him. And I imagine at this point, Nicodemus would really like Jesus to say something along the lines of, yes, Nicodemus, you are correct. I am a rabbi sent from God to do his work. That is why I teach and perform miraculous signs like the prophets of old. That would have worked for Nicodemus. Nicodemus would have been correct in his assumptions. He would have gone home happy and satisfied that he understands Jesus. He could have put him in that teacher box and, you know, the miraculous signs. He could have made some sense of it. But this passage shows that Jesus is much more than just a rabbi. He is indeed the Son of God. So Jesus doesn't let him have that satisfaction. Instead, in verse 3, Jesus, in the only way that he can, responds, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Excuse me, Jesus? Did you hear my statement? Nicodemus would be asking himself. Jesus doesn't respond to Nicodemus's statement whatsoever. We can ask ourselves, did he even hear Nicodemus correctly? But what we see here is something profound. Jesus is speaking to the need that Nicodemus doesn't realise he has. He's speaking to the need that Nicodemus doesn't realise he has. Have you ever wanted one thing and received something else and actually realised that what you originally wanted wasn't what you needed at all? Well, as you know, I work up at the university with women through the Christian Union, and I meet regularly with a wonderful student who became a Christian last year. And she's kind and generous and joyful. But before she came to know Jesus, she said that she had a hole in her heart, a real gap. And I know that's cliche, but it's very real for her. See, she grew up in a very traumatic upbringing and literally felt something was missing in her life, and she didn't know what she needed. And coming to Jesus, she found, was fulfilling that hole in her life with a joy that she hadn't experienced before. And she filled that hole with God. Or should I say, God filled that hole. And perhaps this is you too. Perhaps you've experienced something like this before. Now, Nicodemus, as a member of the Jewish ruling council, is unaware of the gaping hole in his heart, the need he really has. Let's look again at verse 3. What Nicodemus needs is to see the kingdom of God. He needs to be born again. So Nicodemus answers in verse 4, how can a man be born when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. And as I've already said, praise the Lord Jesus that this does not need to happen. So what does it mean? And let's pick up on what Jesus has said here. He says, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom unless he is born again. And this is the first of three I tell you the truth statements. And we can rest assured that when Jesus repeats himself, that he really wants us to pay attention. He's teaching us, Jesus is teaching us, that we need this rebirth if we want to see heaven, if we want eternal life, if we want life after death. That is what the kingdom of God is, where God lives. Do you want to see heaven? Do you want to enter in? I do. Let's take heed of what Jesus says next. He says, I tell you the truth, number two, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. The Spirit. So this is how we enter in, by God's Holy Spirit. Well, how do we do this? How can this be? I'm sure we'd all like to understand how. Well, in verses 7 and 8, Jesus says something quite interesting. He says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So by saying flesh gives birth to flesh, Jesus is simply saying that we are each born into this world of our parents. We are each, our flesh is born from our mother. But next he's talking about our spirit. And by talking about this, he's instructing us as to how to become followers of God. Not a religious practice, but a life transformation. And the good news about this life transformation is that it's not something that we need to strive for. So I want you to think of something that you've had to work really hard for. And it may go a bit like this. You have a goal, you work really hard, and then you succeed. You get what it is you're striving for. So it might be, I need a new car. So goal, new car. Work hard, save your money. Succeed, buy a new car. Well, what else do we work hard for? Perhaps it's working hard in your career or your job just so you can feed your family. Perhaps we work hard in our relationships so that they remain functional. We work hard as parents. We work hard as students. But do you want to know something? And this is really important information. Choosing to follow God is not like this. Having his spirit in us is not like this. There is a huge transformation, but you don't need to strive for it. You just need to accept it. So, who or what is this Spirit of God? Hopefully you'll remember from the first passage from Romans, there were some descriptions of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So here are some of the promises from that passage. The Spirit does not make us slaves to live in fear. It makes us sons and daughters of God. By this Spirit, we get to call God our Father. It testifies that we are God's children. And if we are God's children, then we are heirs and co-heirs with Christ. What do we receive as heirs and co-heirs with Christ? The kingdom of God. We get to see and enter into the kingdom of God. And how do we see and enter in? By looking to Jesus. Then we are accepting the Spirit of God into our hearts and our lives. What kind of God would allow his creation to share in the glory befitting his Son Jesus? A God of love would. So you all know the verse from John 3:16. But do you know the verse in your heart? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son for us, out of love, so that we can share in the glory of his Son Jesus. Isn't that amazing news? He would share that with his creation. That whoever believes will have eternal life. So, there's a bit of a question mark still on this spirit that blows wherever it pleases. This is a random spirit. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. What does that mean for us? What does that mean for those of us who haven't accepted God yet? Does that mean that we may miss out because the Spirit's so random? By no means. What does the end of John 3:16 say? Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Whoever believes in him. We need not fear the Spirit, whether it blow in our direction or not, or the motives. From our point of view and, you know, from this passage, it might look or sound random, but from God's point of view, the Spirit has purpose. And can I say this also might include those of us who long to see someone in our family come to know God, to see and enter the kingdom. We need not fear. The Spirit's not random. We need just believe in our good God who loves his world, who gives us his good Son and his good Spirit. So a good illustration of this is from the ministry up at the university that I get to participate in. Every year we literally meet hundreds of students. We just don't know who we'll come into contact with and who will accept the message of God. So what do we do? Do we look for signs of where the Spirit might be blowing? By no means. We cast the net wide. We talk to as many students as possible. We invite as many students as we can to events. And importantly, we talk to as many students as we can about a personal relationship with God and a personal faith. So, how does the Spirit come to live within us? We now know that the Spirit's not random. He comes from a good God. It's not something we need to strive for. And by the Spirit, we are heirs of God, and we get to see and enter the kingdom of God. Well, there was a verse about in John 3:14. It said, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life. Now, I won't fully go into it because there's another sermon in that, but if you look in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, there's a story about the Israelites, God's chosen people, and they haven't been doing a great job. They haven't been doing the right thing. So God asks Moses to put a bronze snake up on his staff. And he says that if the Israelites will look at the bronze snake, then they'll be saved. And I think Jesus is using this verse because Nicodemus, being a Pharisee, would know all about the Old Testament. But what Jesus is saying is actually, whoever looks to Jesus and believes in him will see and enter the kingdom of God. This is great news. So how do we receive this spirit? By looking to Jesus, by believing he is the Son of God, by putting our trust in him, by recognising we're not perfect, we're sinful people who don't deserve to be God's heirs. We need to ask God to forgive us. When we turn our faces towards Jesus and believe in him, the Spirit of God will come and live in our hearts, a loving gift from our good God. We will be transformed. This gift means we will see and enter into our inheritance, the kingdom of God. Can there be a better inheritance than this? Well, would you like this today? Is today the day you will turn your face and look at Jesus to believe in him? Would you like God's Spirit in you to be heirs of God and see his kingdom? Or perhaps you're a Christian and you've been asking God for one thing, but you think he might like to offer you something else. Or perhaps, like Nicodemus, you have questions for Jesus that you need answers for. Well, I'd really like to pray for us this morning. And after the service, if you would like to chat or pray with myself or Greg or Trevor, we'd be more than happy to. So please join me in prayer. Father God, we thank you that you are so good, that you love us. Thank you that you make us your sons and daughters. Thank you that through Jesus and your Spirit we get to inherit your kingdom. Lord, some of us here today turn our faces to you. We choose to believe in you. Please place your Spirit in our hearts and transform us. Lord, what are you offering us today? Please help us to accept your gift. And God, please answer the deep questions in our hearts. We place all these requests in your hands. Amen.